Pro-Life to the Max is produced and broadcast by WOMB 89.9 FM Catholic Radio in Bloomington, Indiana.
Ave Maria, welcome to Pro-Life to the Max, a weekly half-hour radio program under the patronage of St. Maximilian Mary Kolbe that is dedicated to keeping you informed on local, state, and national pro-life issues and efforts and inspiring you to get involved. I'm Monica Siefker, joined by my co-host and companion for life, Rhonda Branham. Thanks for joining us today. Well, we have just finished celebrating Independence Day, a federal holiday commemorating the signing of the Declaration of Independence way back on July 4th in 1776. You probably remember from your history classes that this document declared that the 13 American colonies would no longer be subject to the British monarchy. Well, since the notion of what freedom actually means is of paramount importance in our own times as well, especially in regards to the issue of abortion, Rhonda and I thought we'd talk about the importance of defining freedom correctly. We're also going to touch upon the virtue of patriotism. And finally, we'll bring in the canonically approved apparitions of Our Lady of America and talk about Our Lady's special call to her sons and daughters right here in the United States to live out the virtue of purity. Well, that's a lot to cover today, but first, let's get started by way of prayer.
The psalmist says, "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Heavenly Father, giver of life, we entrust our nation to your loving care. You are the rock on which this nation was founded. You alone are the true source of our cherished rights to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Reclaim this land for your glory and dwell among your people. Send your spirit to touch the hearts of our nation's leaders. Open their minds to the great worth of human life and the responsibilities that accompany human freedom. Remind your people that true happiness is rooted in seeking and doing your will. Through the intercession of Mary Immaculate, patroness of our land, grant us the courage to reject the culture of death. Lead us into a new culture of life and purity. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen." And let's go now to this week's In the News.
Late last Friday, federal judge Sarah Evans Barker issued a preliminary injunction on HEA 1211, an Indiana law that banned the barbaric dismemberment abortion procedure in the state. Indiana Governor Eric Holcomb had signed the bill into law on April 25th. The bill allowed abortionists to be charged with a felony if they abort an unborn baby by tearing the baby apart limb from limb while the heart is beating, a procedure commonly used in second trimester abortions. The ACLU filed suit only hours after Governor Holcomb had given his signature to the legislation. It's disgusting that the abortion industry can simply overturn a law they dislike by filing a lawsuit, said Mike Fichter, president and CEO of Indiana Right to Life. Dismemberment abortions are painful and barbaric. No baby deserves this horrific death sentence, and we urge the state to appeal the ruling, Fichter said. Judge Evans Barker, a Reagan appointee, also recently gave the abortion industry a victory when she sided with Whole Women's Health Alliance in allowing them to begin doing abortions in South Bend without a state license. And for the second year in a row, the number of reported unborn children killed by abortion here in Indiana has increased. The Indiana Department of Health's 2018 Induced Termination of Pregnancy Report was released earlier this week, announcing that 8,037 abortions were performed in 2018, up from 7,778 in 2017. According to available data, 65% of the abortion numbers increase was attributed to out-of-state women coming to Indiana for an abortion, most likely from Kentucky. It's also noted that chemical abortions continue to rise, now making up 41% of all abortions in the state. The Bloomington Planned Parenthood, however, did not follow the state trend and actually saw a decrease in abortion numbers from 1,065 unborn children killed in 2017 to 887 in 2018. Early reports on figures for 2019 continue to show a rise in abortion numbers for the state, and that increase will likely be sustained if the South Bend abortion facility is permitted to remain open without an abortion license. And finally, due to Independence Day falling on a Thursday this year, it appears that no unborn children were killed by abortion this week in Bloomington. Sidewalk advocates observed many women going in for abortion counseling earlier in the week and were there to offer help to the women. It's expected that next Thursday will be a busy day, making up for the lack of abortions this past week. Be sure to keep all those mothers who are thinking of or scheduled to have an abortion in your prayers. And that's your weekly In the News. Well, Rhonda, whenever I hear the words 4th of July, I confess that my mind goes immediately to the images of barbecues and picnics, lots of good food and drink, and throw in fireworks, family and friends, and you've got an awesome day. Were you blessed to partake in any of these things on the 4th, Rhonda?
I certainly was. We would have a barbecue, and we would run around the yard with our sparklers, acting like we're little pom-pom girls and having a good time.
Oh, good. Well, the late Catholic convert and comedian Irma Bombeck once said, "You have to love a nation that celebrates its independence every July 4th, not with a parade of guns, tanks, and soldiers who file by the White House in a show of strength and muscle, but with family picnics where kids throw frisbees, the potato salad gets iffy, and the flies die from happiness. You may think you have overeaten, but it is patriotism." And even though Bombeck's wit here is quite amusing and probably even accurate, there is a downside in all of this, in that too many Americans don't even know the history behind the signing of the Declaration of Independence, nor do they have a proper understanding of what freedom really means. In many ways, there's this lack of reverence for this important national holiday, stemming from our own complacency. And as a result, we see our freedoms, our liberties, slowly but surely being stripped away.
Thomas Jefferson once said, "How little do my countrymen know what precious blessings they are in possession of, and which no other people on earth enjoy." Unfortunately, we have this tendency to take our freedoms for granted, and we can become indifferent to the sacrifices made by others that have helped secure our liberties. And here's something very important. Our founding fathers understood that freedom does not come from government, but from Almighty God Himself. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And of course, Monica, we see just how much the right to life is under attack, particularly the right to life for the unborn. And the word freedom has been used to advance this demonic act.
Yeah, there's a complete inversion here. Instead of acknowledging, as our Constitution does, that the right to life is inherent and given to us by our Creator, far too many Americans think that our rights come from the government and that a woman has the right, under the guise of a counterfeit idea of freedom, to take away the life of her unborn child. Not only that, in recent years, we've seen the stripping away of other rights connected with this. For example, like a pharmacist being required to dispense abortion pills and birth control in opposition to their beliefs. Doctors and nurses pressured to perform or participate in abortions against their will. The Little Sisters of the Poor being told that they have to provide for contraception in their healthcare plans. Numerous attempts to force bakers and florists to participate in events and ceremonies that are at odds with their deeply held religious beliefs. All this just to name a few. And the hot button issue right now, of course, is the call by those in the Democratic Party to do away with the Hyde Amendment, which bars, in most cases, the use of federal taxpayer dollars to pay for abortions. Democrats are being very vocal of late in expressing their desire to get this amendment revoked, claiming income inequality, and saying that the Hyde Amendment prevents low-income women, women of color, and incarcerated women from receiving the same quote-unquote health care access, and that's code for abortion, that other women have. So the conscience and religious rights of those who oppose abortion are really coming under fire, and it's probably only going to get worse unless something major changes.
Well, we've definitely seen some moves in the right direction under the Trump administration, so that's something to be very thankful for. But a lot more is going to have to be done in order to cease these unrelenting attacks on our freedom of speech and religion. What set the stage for the American Revolution was King George's harsh imposition of regulations and restrictions on the American colonists. In many ways, it feels like we are enduring a similar situation in our own times as our liberties, especially as Christians, are curtailed. Now, to the credit of our U.S. bishops, for the past several years, they have designated a Religious Freedom Week, exhorting the faithful to pray, to do penance, and to take action on the issue of religious liberty. It's always set around the feast day of St. Thomas More, who ironically was an Englishman. And so the church just finished up this year's Religious Freedom Week on June 29th. But we should continue all year round to pray and fast for this intention and persist in contacting our legislators and writing letters to the editor on this subject.
Mm-hmm. Rhonda, I always tell my children, you've got to know your history because it repeats itself. Ronald Reagan said, freedom is never more than one generation away from extinction. We didn't pass it to our children in the bloodstream. It must be fought for, protected, and handed on for them to do the same. And I also like this quote from George Washington. If the freedom of speech is taken away, then dumb and silent we may be led like sheep to the slaughter. Very poignant there. And Rhonda, being down there at 421 South College Avenue, you and I have witnessed firsthand from time to time, subtle attempts being made to silence our freedom of speech. The threat to our freedom of religion and speech is very real, and we need to encourage one another to educate ourselves on the history of our nation and to humbly, charitably, but firmly insist that these rights not be taken from us. St. Paul says in Galatians chapter 5, verse 1, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery.
Yes, Monica, when the foundational right to life goes, then all other freedoms that we enjoy quickly go with it. The words of Samuel Adams should still urge us on. Courage then, my countrymen. Our contest is not only whether we ourselves shall be free, but whether there shall be left to mankind an asylum on earth for civil and religious liberty.
Great quote.
It is. And let's bring in a couple of paragraphs from the Catechism of the Catholic Church about our duties as citizens. This comes from paragraphs 2238 and 2239. Those subject to authority should regard those in authority as representatives of God, who has made them stewards of his gifts. Be subject for the Lord's sake to every human institution. Live as free men, yet without using your freedom as a pretext for evil, but live as servants of God. Their loyal collaboration includes the right and at times the duty to voice their just criticisms of that which seems harmful to the dignity of persons and to the good of the community. It is the duty of citizens to contribute along with the civil authorities to the good of society in a spirit of truth, justice, solidarity, and freedom. The love and service of one's country follow from the duty of gratitude and belong to the order of charity. Submission to legitimate authorities and service of the common good require citizens to fulfill their roles in the life of the political community.
Some good stuff there. Well, our duties as citizens of this country are pretty clearly stated there in the Catechism, and it makes for a good examination of conscience just coming off of this July 4th holiday. Well, the Russian novelist and philosopher Dostoevsky once wrote, "The man who has no country has no God either." And the great Scottish philosopher Alasdair MacIntyre expounded upon this same idea in his late 20th century writings, as he laid out the idea that patriotism is a necessary condition for morality. MacIntyre's thoughts and writings on patriotism should be of interest to all of us who are working to defend and build up a culture of life.
And one of the most eloquent speakers on the subject of patriotism is Venerable Fulton J. Sheen. In all of his writings and talks, one can hear his love for not only the Catholic faith and the Holy Mother Church, but also his love of country. In one of his radio programs back in 1938, Venerable Archbishop Sheen said the following. The treatise on patriotism in the writings of the greatest philosopher of all times, St. Thomas Aquinas, is to be found under the subject of piety. This at first may strike as strange those who think of piety as pertaining only to the love of God, but once it is remembered that love of neighbor is inseparable from love of God, it is seen that love of our fellow citizens is a form of piety. In these days when so many subversive activities are at work, a reminder of the necessity of loving our country is very much to the point. When our country began, our founding fathers were most anxious to find some basis for human rights, some foundation for human liberties, some guarantee of human personality, which would be above the encroachment of tyranny and abuse. Where find the source of the liberties and the rights of man? On what stable foundation are they to be reared? What is their source? The answer the founders gave was the right one. They sought the foundations of man's rights and liberties in something so sacred and so inalienable that no state, no parliament, no dictator, no human power could ever take them away, and so they rooted them in God. Therefore, if human dignity and liberty come from God, then it follows that loss of faith in Him means loss of faith in those liberties which derive from Him. If we wish to have the light, we must keep the sun. True Americanism is the belief in the freedom of man as a divine derivative. For that reason, if we wish to keep pure Americanism, we must keep our religion. A democracy needs religion, for it assumes that man has not only a stomach, but also a soul, which is the seat of his rights. And since that soul must be fed as well as the body, he must have religion. Democracy has to rely not on force, but on freedom and liberty. But freedom and liberty are inseparable from responsibility. And responsibility is inseparable from conscience. And conscience is inseparable from religion. It is our solemn duty as Catholics, therefore, to be conscious of our duty to America and to preserve its freedom by preserving its faith in God. But as we talk about patriotism, it might be well to remind ourselves that in times of crisis, devotion to the stars and stripes is not enough to save us. We must look beyond them to other stars and stripes, namely the stars and stripes of Christ, by whose stars we are illuminated and by whose stripes we are healed.
Really powerful words there by Venerable Fulton Sheen. Okay, Rhonda, I mentioned at the beginning of the show how it's so important that we have the right definition of freedom. Right now in our culture, so many people think that freedom simply means to be allowed to do whatever you want or whatever you choose to do. And we've gotten to this distorted definition of freedom because of a lack of reference to objective moral truth. For most, personal autonomy is seen as the greatest good. And there's no more blatant example of this type of abuse of freedom than can be found in the abortion issue. We need to remind people that personal bodily autonomy is not absolute. For example, one cannot attach a bomb to her body, walk into a crowd, shout, "My body, my choice," and then detonate the bomb. Of course not. That's murder. There are limits to bodily autonomy because we may not harm others. In the same way, a woman carrying her unborn child cannot claim bodily autonomy over the child. It's a perverted interpretation of freedom and choice to say and do otherwise. The Catechism of the Catholic Church reminds us in paragraph 1740 that the exercise of freedom does not imply a right to say or do everything. Authentic freedom is the power and the right to do that which is right and good. We actually become increasingly free to the extent that we turn away from evil and sin and do what is good, holy, and right. And this true freedom that we are talking about is an essential requirement for human dignity and thus for a stable and truly free country.
Well, the very words that our founding fathers used in the Declaration of Independence, "We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights," cannot leave any question in our minds that they themselves recognized objective truth as coming from Almighty God. And because so many Americans have now abandoned this belief, the very foundation of our society is crumbling. I mean, it's such a paradox. One is free to choose to kill her unborn child or an elderly or sick family member, and yet at the same time, those who appeal to their freedom of religion, of conscience, to not participate in these things are so often refused exemption. Many have been those souls who gave their lives for our country. Many, too, are the saints who gave their lives for the church and for the gospel. is the time coming soon when we may be called upon to do the same?
Who can say, Rhonda, but it may very well be. Well, this is probably a good time to transition over to talking about the hope that is there for our country, particularly in the devotion to Our Lady of America. And if you've never heard about Our Lady of America, really, you've really got to. It was on the eve of the Feast of the North American Martyrs, Saints Isaac Yogues, Jean de Brébeuf, and companions in 1956 that Our Lady appeared to a Precious Blood nun named Sister Mary Ephraim in, check this out, Rome City, Indiana. Now, this visit was both preceded and followed by many others, including those with Our Lord and St. Joseph. These canonically approved apparitions give us, her children of America, the battle plan necessary for changing the descent into chaos that our nation seems to be heading down. Our Lady promised greater miracles here in America than those granted at Lourdes and Fatima. And she said that these miracles and healings would be of a spiritual rather than of a physical nature. Our Lady spoke often of the need for penance and mortification in order to reap these benefits. She told Sister Mary Ephraim the following, "My beloved daughter, what I am about to tell you concerns in a particular way my children in America. Unless they do penance by mortification and self-denial and thus reform their lives, God will visit them with punishments hitherto unknown to them." Now, this might sound like a dire message, but it truly is one of hope. Our Lady gives us the tools to reverse course and avoid disaster. And aside from prayer and penance, Our Lady also spoke much on the virtue of purity.
Well, on the past two Pro-Life to the Max shows, we spoke with Dr. Judith Reisman about Alfred Kinsey and his founding of the Kinsey Institute in 1947, ground zero for the sexual revolution, which is responsible for the widespread acceptance of immoral and impure behaviors. Our Lady did not abandon her children, and she came to our aid with her first appearance to Sister Mary Ephraim in 1956. So as Kinsey's supposed sexual research and recommendations were finding their way into all things academia and even into churches, Our Lady was bringing the antidote in her messages to Sister Mary Ephraim. With the Kinsey Institute being right here in Indiana, it would seem quite appropriate that this is where Our Lady would come. As you said, Monica, Sister Mary Ephraim began these mystical experiences as a sister of the Precious Blood in Rome City, Indiana, which is about 3 to 3.5 hours north of Bloomington in Noble County. In 1959, she became a contemplative of the indwelling Trinity in Fostoria, Ohio, even as Our Lady's messages continued until her death in 2000. And in that September 26, 1956 appearance, Our Lady called her children in America to dedicate their lives to her purity. She said, "My child, I entrust you with this message that you must make known to my children in America. I wish it to be the country dedicated to my purity. The wonders I will work will be the wonders of the soul. They must have faith and believe firmly in my love for them. I desire that they be the children of my pure heart. I desire through my children in America to further the cause of faith and purity among peoples and nations. Let them come with confidence and simplicity, and I, their mother, will teach them to become pure, like to my heart, that their own hearts may be more pleasing to the heart of my son."
And as we said right before the start of our interview with Dr. Reisman a couple of shows back, the U.S. bishops had chosen the Blessed Virgin Mary as patroness and protectress of our country on May 13, 1846, under the title of Her Immaculate Conception. And Sister Mary Ephraim said that it was in response to this love and devotion that her children of America had towards her under this special title of Immaculate Conception that Our Lady came as well. So we see this beautiful filial affection playing out in these apparitions. Now, it's also interesting to note that Sister Mary Ephraim relayed how already in the 1940s, again, that's the time frame when Alfred Kinsey was beginning to create this diabolical sexualization of American culture, which would lead to the destruction of marriage and family life, that Our Lord was making known interiorly to her that her mission was to converge towards the sanctity of the family. And with the ensuing years, Our Lady appeared appeared to St. Mary Ephraim to enlighten her on how this would be accomplished.
Monica, let's go through some of the early messages that our Lord gave to Sister Mary Ephraim before Our Lady came to her. These words were given for the spiritual renewal of souls and came in the year 1954. Our Lord said to Sister Mary Ephraim, "My daughter, I am not loved in the homes of men, and because I am not loved, the Divine Trinity refuses to dwell therein. Children are not taught to love me, because those who have charge over them have no time or patience to do so. My heart grieves over my children in the world. Their hearts are being drawn farther and farther away from me. They will not even listen to my mother, because they have never been taught to listen. Woe to the parents who set a bad example to their children. Terrible will be their judgment. I will demand a strict account of every soul entrusted to their care. Woe to the parents who teach their children how to gain materially in this world and neglect to prepare them for the next. Woe to children who disobey and show disrespect towards their parents. Honor thy father and thy mother. On this shall they be judged most severely. Blessed are the homes that honor my name in the name of my Father. Blessed are the homes where I am loved, for there the Holy Trinity dwells. Blessed are the parents and children who have made a home for God in their hearts."
We need to hear those words, don't we, Rhonda?
We certainly do.
A country must have at its very foundation strong holy families, otherwise it builds on sand. And when the winds and rains of trials and temptations come along, the foundation gives way, just as we are witnessing in our own times. It truly does seem that many parents are neglecting their very basic and important duties toward their children, including the most primordial, the right to life. Rhonda, I want to read what the Catechism of the Catholic Church states as parental duties. And guess what? We're going to hear the very same things that you just read from our Lord's words to Sister Mary Ephraim, further validating these apparitions. Here are some of these obligations coming from paragraphs 2223 through 2226. Parents have the first responsibility for the education of their children. They bear witness to this responsibility first by creating a home where tenderness, forgiveness, respect, fidelity, and disinterested service are the rule. The home is well suited for education in the virtues. This requires an apprenticeship in self-denial, sound judgment, and self-mastery. The preconditions of all true freedom, right there, that's worth repeating. Self-denial and self-mastery are necessary for true freedom, and parents must help their children develop such discipline. Parents should teach their children to subordinate the material and instinctual dimensions to interior and spiritual ones. Parents have a grave responsibility to give good example to their children. Parents should teach children to avoid the compromising and degrading influences which threaten human societies. Parents should initiate their children at an early age into the mysteries of the faith, of which they are the first heralds for their children. They should associate them from their tenderest years with the life of the church. Education in the faith by the parents should begin in the child's earliest years. Parents have the mission of teaching their children to pray and to discover their vocation as children of God. Lots of good practical information in this section of the Catechism. Rhonda, just imagine if all parents took the time and effort to fulfill their solemn duties, our country and world would be transformed overnight.
It most certainly would, Monica. The apparitions associated with Our Lady of America are so timely and necessary for the survival of our country. In them, Our Lady asks for the renewal and sanctification of the family, especially through the practice of the virtue of purity, and how necessary it is for us right here in Bloomington, Indiana, the home of the Kinsey Institute, to practice this virtue to a heroic degree and to help and encourage others to do the same. We are real close to the end of our time with you here today, so we're going to have to save the rest of this beautiful and incredible story of Our Lady of America for next week. Thanks for being with us. Until next time, let us heed the warning of St. Maximilian Mary Kolbe that the most deadly poison of our time is indifference. Let's pray for one another that we may be consumed with the desire to save lives and souls, to give the greatest possible honor and glory to God. Ave Maria.
Ave Maria.
Thank you for listening to Pro-Life to the Max, a production of WOMB Catholic Radio. To learn more about this program and how you can help us to continue to produce and broadcast this content, visit us online at WOMBradio.com.